Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a few subjects. We have Say Technologies has opened up their question submission process for Tesla's Q1 earnings call. So as we do most quarters, we're going to go through some of the questions that I've asked, some of the questions that I've asked, and see what we think are good questions. We then also have some news from a Tesla supplier, some more information on the Tesla accident in Texas, price target increase on Tesla stock, and then a protester at Shanghai, so we'll go through the details on that as well. All right, so quick look at the stock here. So Tesla today finishing up 0.6%, a little bit down after hours from the $719 closing price. Netflix did report their earnings after hours today. They did miss. I think their stock was down about 10% last time I looked at it. So we did, the macro is probably impacting Tesla a little bit after hours here as well. That could carry into tomorrow, so just something to keep an eye on. But otherwise, a relatively quiet day in the markets, obviously. A lot of attention around Apple's event today. I think that absorbed a lot of the focus today. All right, so first thing I want to talk about is these questions. So as we do most quarters, just want to go through some of the questions that have been asked, my questions, the reasoning behind some of the things, I'm thinking about as I'm asking these questions, and then we'll move on to the next subject. So I guess we can start off here with kind of the questions that I've got in here, and then we'll go through a couple of the top questions as well. So the first question I asked here is, how is Dojo coming along? Could Dojo unlock an AWS-like business line for Tesla over the next few years? So the reason that I chose to ask this question is because, as I say most quarters, I think the most valuable thing that we can be asking about are batteries. Most valuable things we can be asking about are batteries and autonomy. But we asked a lot about batteries on the last earnings call. So we've already got a decent amount of information from Elon Musk about the progress with 4680 battery technology. Specifically, we asked about the dry battery electrode process last quarter. Elon said that was coming along really well. So I don't know that asking another question here is going to get us any more information. You know, we already know Tesla's projected run rate for next year. We already know that they're trying to maximize their production rate up to 10 gigawatt hours out of Fremont this year. So I just don't know that we're missing much information here that another question is going to be giving us any more information than we already have, despite, as I said, batteries being obviously one of the most important topics that we could ask about. So with that being said, I feel similarly on autonomy. So batteries, autonomy, Elon has been very forthright with where the progress is at on the FSD beta so far on Twitter. He's been sharing pretty much constant updates on that. You know, I know we all want to ask when the FSD beta is coming, but we're just not going to get any more information on that this quarter besides what we're seeing from Elon on Twitter. It'll be ready when it's ready, and until then, we just kind of have to wait. So with those questions being kind of scratched off my list, I decided probably the next most important area would be what Tesla's doing with AI. As I've talked about, I continue to believe this is just an underrated and underappreciated element of Tesla. So that's why I went in this direction with this question and focusing it more on sort of future state. You know, obviously we're going to learn, we hope to learn more about this stuff at Tesla's Autonomy Day later this year. But if we can get any sort of preview to that to start getting the market and investors and even employees, potential employees, human resources, talent thinking about this, I think it's great to give Tesla and Elon some opportunities to talk about those things. And I just want to know where they're at with Dojo. As we went through in the AI Day, what to expect episode. We don't know exactly how far along Dojo is. Tesla, Elon last November had said that they were about a year out. And then he said AI Day could be either end of June or end of July, I think end of July. So that would have been accelerating that timeline. It'd be great to have some confirmation around that timeline again, since it has been a few months now, about 6 months since we've heard Elon talk about Dojo. So that's my thoughts there. Again, I continue to think this is going to be a huge business line for Tesla. Hopefully asking that AWS like, you know, question, even though it's a different sort of model, hopefully that can kind of start to wake people up about what this potential business line could look like. So that's kind of my first question. The second question here, then we'll get to some of the other ones. This one's on Solar Roof. So, you know, we've all kind of been wondering what the progress with Solar Roof is like. So I said, the recent price changes on Solar Roof have been a little bit discouraging for customers and investors. Could Tesla share more about the challenges for Solar Roof and if the outlook has changed at all longer term, i.e. 1,000 plus per week. So the reason that I ask it this way, you know, trying to acknowledge that it's pretty clear that the solar roof ramp up and where the product is at in the market right now is not what Tesla had anticipated it being by this point in time. You know, I think probably a year ago now, Tesla talked about getting the solar roof version 3, that kind of being the breakthrough, and yet we're seeing it kind of go in the opposite direction. So I want Tesla to talk about some of the challenges, why the prices are increasing. Obviously, this is a frustrating situation for customers, so I want to try to acknowledge that without being overly negative, because obviously Tesla doesn't want to raise the prices. If they're doing that, it's kind of because they have to. They're not just doing that to like hurt customers or anything like that. That would be my belief, at least. So hopefully we'll get some more information on that. And then if their long-term outlook has changed because of some of those challenges. So those are my two questions. I wouldn't blame anyone for not voting for this one. I do have this typo here, which is disappointing. Should have proofread it. The other thing before we get on to the other questions, the number of shares here always seems to confuse people. This is the total number of shares that have been upvoted on Say for the individual questions. This is not my share count. I don't have 87,000 shares, unfortunately. I wish I did, but people always get a little bit confused by that. So I'm going to go up to the top question here. So this is from Jay. So he's asking about the solar roof too. I just want to compare and contrast our questions a little bit. So he says, why have solar roof prices increased so dramatically for both new and existing contracts? How much of installation costs, material costs, and demand changed? So this one's a little bit different from my question in that it's more specifically asking about the challenges, which could be good, could be bad. I don't think Tesla is going to answer very specifically, because if we go back to that episode where we talked about the solar roof price increases, in the contract that Tesla has with customers, the order contract, the price change, that clause that Tesla put in there, there is a price change clause in there, but it relates to Tesla finding something unexpected when assessing the project in terms of something like roof complexity. So I think because of those contracts, Tesla, regardless of what's actually happening, is probably going to answer something along those lines to help strengthen any sort of legal defense they would need to have in regards to those previous order contracts. So with this and how specific it is, I just don't think we'd get a pretty boilerplate answer from Tesla saying, you know, we went and we've assessed these individual houses, the roofs were more complex, we had to raise the price because of that. I just think we're unlikely to have learned much new from an answer like that. That being said, you never know with Tesla. Like, no question is a bad question. Elon can kind of take things wherever he wants to take them. So I'll be happy regardless of which solar roof question gets asked. So the second question on here, just to touch on that quickly, this is something that kind of continues to pop up on Say. Talking about, it's kind of frustrating for customers to have to go to Elon's Twitter. It'd be great if there were some sort of community official feedback system where people could, you know, vote to try to prioritize issues as they come up. I feel kind of neutral on that. I don't really have a strong opinion either way. I think since it continues to get asked, it's probably good to eventually get it in as one of these questions. So that's probably a good one. So Emmett, shout out to Emmett Peppers. He does a great job. Obviously has a lot of conversations with Dave. Definitely fun to listen to some of those. So check those out. Emmett's asking here, which this is a question a ton of people have, especially with the, you know, all the news the last couple of days about this Texas accident. Does Tesla have any plans to proactively tackle mainstream media's imminent massive and deceptive clickbait headline campaigns, safety of autopilot/FSD, perhaps as a specialty PR job of some sort? So as we know, Tesla recently, maybe not even that recently now at this point, did remove their PR team. I think this is just kind of the nature of being a disruptive company. Obviously, Tesla doesn't have an advertising budget either. That kind of puts them at a disadvantage too. I don't think a PR person is ever going to solve this problem. The media is going to run with stories like this and try to generate clicks, regardless of whether or not Tesla's got a PR person there saying, yep, we're looking into it. When we have more information, we'll let you know. And that's all really a PR person could do. And it creates this sort of liaison, which I'm sure Elon Musk sees as unnecessary, between the media and Elon, just kind of having to go back and like double check and be like, okay, is this communication okay? Things like that. So I actually don't think this is probably something that's going to happen. I don't view it as a great opportunity for us to ask a question. Tesla's obviously considered these things. This is not the first time that clickbait stuff has come up around Tesla. And, you know, they've already made the call on this. So I don't think that's going to change too much there. I actually like Emmett's second question here better. And I think this is right now in the top five. I think it's in the top five. So hopefully that'll stay around there. Emmett says, Master of Coin, that'd be Zach, CFO. Can you tell us anything about Tesla's future plans in digital currency space or when any such major developments might be revealed? So obviously in Q1, we saw Tesla establish their position in Bitcoin. Since then, we haven't heard anything else. So we don't know if Tesla has any other plans in the digital currency space. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more information on that just in the letter or in the opening comments, something like that. But I think it's great if we do get a more specific question about this. You know, many people have speculated on some sort of Tesla coin potentially making sense at some point. So I think there's, you know, merit to that question. And it's something that, you know, we don't get the opportunity to ask a lot about. Like oftentimes the questions on the conference call are going to be around, you know, batteries, vehicle production, energy storage, solar, Tesla insurance. This is just kind of a different one that we haven't really heard too much, obviously over the recent quarters. So I think that's great. It looks like Warren Redlick here asking specifically about battery production next year. This one, I don't know that we're going to get a great answer here either. Again, we already kind of know Tesla's internal battery production goals, as Warren states here, 100 gigawatt hours next year. I think we can kind of, you know, work from all the other things that we've heard around Tesla and their production rates and what they're doing this year to kind of figure out how much supply they're counting on from additional suppliers next year. So, and I don't think they're going to be, you know, very specific on that front either. They want to give themselves a little bit of leeway and probably not make it exactly clear to their other suppliers how much supply they're expecting from the other group of suppliers that's not them. Like if Panasonic's doing 30 gigawatt hours or something and Tesla says 50, well, then Panasonic knows that they're expecting 20 from the combination of others. So I don't know that we'll get a whole lot of information from that one. All right, so those are kind of my thoughts on some of the top questions there. Again, I would just encourage people, like, I don't care if you want to vote for my questions, like, whatever, that's fine. I just want people to participate in the process because it's really cool that we have the opportunity to do this. And I do think the questions here, even if some of them aren't, you know, not ones that I would necessarily love to see asked, I think they're all really good and they're not like trying to like mash a bunch of questions into the same question as we've seen in the past. So it looks like regardless of how this ends up, I think we're going to get some really good questions here. Maybe we'll just quickly touch on this Jim one. So Jim is asking about the supercharger network and maybe expanding that to other EVs. I thought about asking that question. I didn't want to necessarily force Tesla into having to address that on the call. You know, obviously they could choose to not answer the question, but I feel like, you know, Tesla, when they're ready, is going to be able to announce that. So we might as well just wait. But yeah, it would definitely be interesting to have that one ask for sure. All right, so let me flip on to our next subject here. So this is from Kelvin Yang on Twitter. Kelvin's a great follow. He does keeps us updated on what's going on in Shanghai oftentimes. So earlier today, he tweeted, supply chain news suggests Tesla is targeting 1 million units in 2021. Looks like Sysgration, probably not saying that right, but Bluetooth tire pressure monitoring system was supplying Tesla with 1 million units in 2020 for Model Y. So the first time I read this, I read this wrong. 2020 was last year. We are now in 2021. So they're saying last year they supplied, you know, about a million units, or that was the order amount just for Model Y. And that 2021, the target is 4 million units. So that would be this year. These are tire pressure monitoring systems. So presumably 4 per vehicle would mean that the 2021 target would be for a total of 1 million vehicles. It does sound like this is for Model 3 and Model Y. So potentially you could layer in some Model S and X production on top of that. And maybe get to a target for Tesla that's maybe even a little bit higher than 1 million vehicles, which, you know, this isn't necessarily entirely new information for us, but this does offer a little bit more evidence of that 1 million production target that we'd heard leaked from that company-wide conference call. So just wanted to share that. It also looks like this rear reduction gear supplier, Hoda, its chairman in this video, which unfortunately didn't have English subtitles or anything like that. So we kind of have to trust Kelvin here. But again, I think he's a great source of information. So he says that the chairman also reveals that Tesla's 1 million unit target in 2021 for that reduction gear part as well. So a couple of different suppliers there talking about that 1 million target. All right, next year we have just a little bit more information on the Texas crash. So this is something that, I don't know if I missed it yesterday, if this was a new statement that kind of came out as I was doing the research, but so if we're going back to the Constable Mark Herman, this is a report from Reuters who picked up on this. They said that Herman said that, quote, "We have witnessed statements from people that said they left to test drive the vehicle without a driver and to show the friend how it can drive itself," end quote. So that in combination with the with nobody being found in the driver's seat definitely explains why Herman feels so confident that there was no driver. As we talked about yesterday, Elon said that autopilot was not engaged at the time of the crash. Doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't engaged shortly before that. As we talked about with the safety statistics, Tesla does say that when they report on that accident data, anytime autopilot was engaged within the last 5 seconds, they count that as an autopilot accident. That doesn't mean that applies to how Elon is labeling this, but it is, I think, worth considering. And then, I guess I lost my train of thought on that part, but I wanted to at least have people know that there were witness statements from people that said that there was no driver. So this continues to be kind of a mystery. Hopefully we'll get more information as Tesla combs through the data logs. I don't know, you know, presumably they've got all that information now, but they'll obviously work with NHTSA, who's investigating the crash. I know in this article it says that the Texas police force is also curious for that data from Tesla. They haven't received it yet. But yeah, it's just a really interesting situation. I don't know. Elon said that the car doesn't have FSD, so I don't know why they would be literally getting in the car, not have anybody in the driver's seat to demonstrate non-FSD autopilot. Even with FSD, that's like a huge stretch. So I don't know. It's a perplexing situation, but at least wanted to pass that along as well. Then kind of an update on the fire situation. So, you know, we heard a lot of reports yesterday that this fire was burning, you know, kind of out of control for 4 hours. The fire department chief did chime in on this either late last night or earlier this morning. So he says, and this is per the Houston Chronicle, quote, "With respect to the firefight, unfortunately, those rumors grew outweigh," kind of a weird phrasing there, "those rumors grew outweigh of control. It did not take us 4 hours to put out the blaze. Our guys got there and put down the fire within 2 to 3 minutes, enough to see the vehicle had occupants." Then he says, after that, it was simply cooling the car batteries as they continued to have a chain reaction due to the damage. So essentially, you can think of it as there was a significant fire there for a couple minutes. They put that down, but then they had to continue to keep the vehicle cooling so that there was no continued fire. So that's what he's saying here. Took several hours to get the, you know, quote unquote final extinguishment, but he's definitely not happy with how that got portrayed. He also says they didn't need to call Tesla to try to figure out how to put the fire out. He said that they were aware of, you know, Tesla's recommended methodology here. So a couple of inaccurate reports here, and I did see in a Bloomberg article that it looked like so Bloomberg here talking about quotes from, again, Mark Herman, the constable there, saying that the fire burned for 4 hours. So my take on that is it kind of looks like the fire chief is not super happy with how that was reported by Herman, saying, you know, unfortunately, those rumors grew away out of hand. So those are a couple things on the fire today. Again, if there is anything more on this, we'll definitely keep an eye out on it. I would imagine it's probably going to be a while before we hear much more that's conclusive on that. Next year, we have an increased price target for Tesla ahead of earnings. So this is from Mizuho Securities. I just wanted to briefly touch on this one. So the analyst there, Vijay Rakesh, has raised his price target from $7.75 to $8.20. Remember, they just initiated coverage on Tesla maybe a month back. We covered that on an episode. The only part that I really wanted to mention here was that Rakesh did say that they believe that Q1 results could position both, so they're talking about NIO and Tesla here. So Q1 results could position both NIO and Tesla to raise the 2021 shipment / delivery outlook. I wanted to share my thoughts on that because I think that's extremely unlikely. I've been kind of beating this drum for a while, and you know, we talked a lot about this going into the Q4 earnings when people were expecting guidance for 2021. I said Tesla's trying to be super vague on this. They've continued to decrease the amount of information, the level of specificity that they're giving in terms of guidance over time. I would expect that to continue, and that's exactly what Tesla did. They just said, you know, we're going to be somewhere above 50%. We think, you know, easily above 50% this year. There's no reason for Tesla at this point in time to raise that guidance, even if Tesla is extremely confident in beating it. So regardless of the Q1 results, I don't think Tesla is going to change their guidance. I think they'll just continue to say, yep, we continue to believe we're extremely confident in beating that 50% increase this year. All right, last story here. So this is on the Shanghai Auto Show. That's not what I'm showing right now. This is an older article, but there has been a protest. So at Tesla's display at the Shanghai Auto Show, that's gotten a ton of attention. It's gone, I guess, pretty viral on Weibo, Chinese social media. This is from a young woman that is protesting because her father was involved in an accident in a Model 3, and she believes that the braking system for the Tesla was faulty. There's been a lot of back and forth between their family and Tesla, and she's obviously not happy with the outcome. But this is not a new story, so this is the same person that was reported on another protest back in early March here, so March 11th. That's why I didn't talk about this yesterday, because I was kind of like, oh, this is just a continuation of the previous story we heard. But here you can see, so they say that this woman's father was the driver at the time of the car accident. According to the traffic police collision report issued that night, Ms. Zhang's father failed to keep a safe distance from the other vehicles and was deemed to be fully at fault for the accident. But she is saying that, you know, for whatever reason, believes that the braking system did not work. Tesla here has insisted that there are no issues with the Model 3 braking system. I haven't seen any other reports on this, similar types of issues there. Tesla says that the accused driver was surpassing the speed limit. Tesla claimed that the Model 3 was driving at 118.5 kilometers per hour at the time of the collision, and the system did not detect any signs of indicating any problems with the brakes. So again, this was her father driving. It's kind of weird that she is protesting so vehemently against Tesla saying that the brakes didn't work when she wasn't actually the driver. You know, I think we see situations like this pretty frequently with Tesla where, you know, you're kind of looking for someone to blame, and that Tesla lies in the crosshairs there. I don't want to speak too much on that. You know, obviously we'll wait to see how this gets resolved, but I know Tesla has set up a special task force to work on issues like this, and it sounded like they apologized for her for some of the trouble that, you know, the back and forth has been here. But at the same time, this person was also, I believe, arrested in Shanghai and is, you know, serving 5 days or something like that. So it's just kind of a messy situation that, again, is a continuation of a previous protest. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But to me, it's not something that I find to be hugely concerning. Again, I haven't seen any other issues of braking issues for Tesla. So I think with that, we will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I will see you tomorrow for the, Wednesday, April 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.